Amanarambham naiskaramyam purushoshnute nachasanyasanadeva siddhim samadigachati. Translation. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Text 5. Nahikas chit kshanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate hyavashak karma sarva prakriti jaya gunai. Translation. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Text 6. Karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasasmaran indriyartandi mudhadma mityachara sa uchite. Translation. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called the pretender. Text 7. Yastvindriyani manasa niyamyar bhavate arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishate. Translation. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Text 8. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo yakarmanaha sharira yatra pichate na prasidyet akarmanaha. Translation. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Text 9. Yagyartat kan manonyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha tarartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Translation. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Text 10. Sahayagya praja prishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam eshastvoshtishtakamaduk. Translation. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Text 11. Devan bhavayata nena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparam bhavayanta shreya param avapsyata. Translation. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between Dan and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Text 12. Istan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yagya bhavitaha tairdattan pradayaipyo yobhungte stena eva saha. Translation. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. And finally, text 13. Yajna-shishtasana-shanto muchante sarva-kilvishai Punjate te tvagam papa ye pachantyatma karanat. Translation. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Going back to text 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action, and furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. You could say that the jnanis, those who are inclined to try to attain liberation, they're thinking how they're going to be liberated. They're thinking, I'll become liberated. But they're not actually liberated. Because in order to be liberated from action, one has to stop action. And how can one stop action? It's not possible, Krishna explains. In the next text, in text 5, everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he's acquired. So to try to stop acting is not possible. Therefore, how can they actually be liberated? Therefore, it said, yen ye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas. Vimuktamanina means they think they're liberated. But that's not real liberation. Real liberation, mukti hitva anyata rupa swarupena vyavastiti. Real liberation means to be reestablished in one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Swarupa means his eternal form, his real situation. The position in the Brahman is not the swarup, because it's not manifest in his full personal form. Continuing in the purport. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So, the jnanis, they like philosophy, but they don't like bhakti. They think bhakti is maya. They think the deity is maya. They think devotional service is maya. They think all these singing, dancing, this is maya. The sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, he had many thousands of sannyas disciples. Benares. Yes, and they, Lord Chaitanya came there. He was invited to a program. And they, even before the program, they were already criticizing him. Why is this sannyasi such a sentimentalist? Playing musical instruments, dancing and singing. Doesn't he know that the whole point of sannyas is Vedanta? Just study Vedanta. And what? How did they study the Vedanta? They studied the commentary by Shankaracharya, Sharirakabhasya. That was the Vedanta, their Vedanta. They weren't interested in the Vedanta and the commentary by the same author, namely Srimad Bhagavatam. That they weren't interested. But they liked the commentary by Shankaracharya. Because, as Krishna says here, there are two types of persons who seek self-realization. One is inclined to empirical speculation, the other is inclined to bhakti. And these Mayavadis, they're inclined to speculation. They enjoy that. They enjoy trying to figure out everything in their little minds. Tempest in a teapot, teacup. They're Dr. Frog. Their intelligence is so small, and their experience is so small, but yet they fancy themselves figuring out everything. They enjoy that. Whereas a bhakta, he's not inclined to use his senses unless it's required. He's compared to the tortoise, as we were hearing. The tortoise, he has his head and arms out when he needs to. And when he doesn't need to, he brings them inside. And so the devotee, he doesn't engage in unnecessary speculation or philosophical bantering back and forth. If it's required, he can do it. If it's helpful for devotional service, he can defend, or shall we say, argue or present the Vedic conclusions in a very, very significant and powerful way. Otherwise, he doesn't. It's like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan, when they were approached by that, there was one scholar who was very proud, and he was conquering all over the place, defeating everyone in debate. So he went to Rupa and Sanatan. He said, "All right, now you're Rupa and Sanatan, very famous scholars. Let's have a debate." And they said, "No, no, we're not big scholars. It's just exaggerated. Anyway, we couldn't, there's no way we could defeat you in a debate." "All right, then sign. Sign some affidavit admitting defeat." They said, "All right." They signed. They didn't want to waste their energy in some debate to try to show their intelligence, to show their learning. That's not the right reason. And they knew that he wasn't going to change. He wasn't interested in hearing any philosophy. It was just, for him, it was just a ego program. He wanted to defeat them. So why should we even bother? Well, that's how a devotee, he doesn't try to show off his learning by writing books or by praising himself or encouraging others to praise him. No. Or even by writing many commentaries or studying many books just to become a learned scholar. No. Continuing in the purport. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers, who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth, come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness, and the other process is directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. Because bhakti is engaging one in his natural position as servant. His sanatana dharma is serving Krishna. So he doesn't have to engage in some preliminary activity to become purified. He's already purified by engaging in that activity. Therefore, it's the most natural. It's like if someone can take some natural medicine, well, that's better than taking some artificial medicine. If something is not only good food and it's medicinal and it's giving health and strength, that's better than just some artificial medicine that temporarily combats the disease. Because the other gives food, tushti, pushti, kshudapayo. Tushti means satisfaction, it's tasty and satisfying. Pushti means it's nourishing, and kshudapayo. And it also frees him from hunger all at the same time. That's what food does, and that's what bhakti, bhakti pare shanubhavo virakti anyata trisha eka kalaha. That's at one time, bhakti does all those things. It gives satisfaction, it gives nourishment, and it fulfills one completely. He gets liberation. He's no more suffering in this material world. Therefore, it's a better process. The speculative process is good because they become pious. It's like it's said that Prakashananda Saraswati was very, very pious. They were following very strictly all the principles of celibacy and chanting mantras. No intoxication, no gambling, no... They were strict followers. And they were brahmanas. Sannyasi is the topmost brahmana. So they were very pious people. They, of course, had the bad habit of criticizing Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, but that was because of all their piety, the Lord was very merciful. He showed his causeless mercy upon them. When he came there in the assembly, he sat down by the place where people washed their feet. And the Prakasananda came over and said, Shripad, your holiness, please come, join us. Why are you sitting here in this unclean place? And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm of a lower, inferior level of sannyas. I'm not fit to sit with the rest of you. So they appreciated that humility of his. That wasn't artificial humility. That was real humility. The Lord has full renunciation. Renunciation comes from him. Therefore, he's also very renounced. When he's playing the role of a humble devotee, he can play the role perfectly, perfectly humble. So as Lord Chaitanya, he was presenting himself as a Vaishnava, and as a Vaishnava, he was very humble. Text 4. Yeah. We discussed those. You can't stop working. And then text 6, one who restrains the senses of action but whose mind dwells on sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. That's mithyachara. Mithyachara. Falsely, he's trying not to act, but actually he's always absorbed. There's a story about this. There was a brahmana, and this brahmana happened to live next door to a prostitute. So every day he was noting how this prostitute was having so many men at her house. And so he was writing on the board. He was, every time another man would come, he'd make a mark on the board. He was keeping track. You know. And so the prostitute, she was thinking, I'm such a fallen wretch. I'm so horrible. I'm engaged in this abominable activity, but there's this very saintly Brahmin next door. If I could only be like him. So when she died, she became a Brahmana. When he died, he became a prostitute. Because he was always thinking of the prostitute, and she was always thinking, or another story, there was two brahmacharis, and they were about to cross the river. But there was a lady there, and she couldn't get across the river. And so one of the brahmacharis, he agreed to take her on his back, carried her across. And then he put her down, and she went off her way, and they went. And they were, as they were walking back to the ashram after several miles, finally the other brahmachari said, you know, you actually carried a woman on your back across that river? It was like 60 feet across. He said, I carried her 60 feet, but you've carried her 7 miles. So, the idea is that one should not be a pretender. He should not take sannyas and then still think about women. That's not good. That's the worst. Lord Chaitanya was really against that, that one takes that position. Because that position, everyone's respecting a sannyasi. It's the highest, everyone's giving honor to the sannyasi. So he shouldn't be a pretender. He should be a strict follower. Otherwise, don't take sannyas. No, there's no use taking sannyas if you're not going to be strict. Better to remain a householder and stay in your position, whatever that occupation may be, or what have you. Better to stay in that. Don't take a position that you're not fit for. Or as Prabhupada says in the purport, better a sincere sweeper in the street than a charlatan meditator. Or there are some people, for example, they claim themselves caste brahmanas or goswamis or something, and they maintain the deity. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said they're using the deity as a nutcracker just to get some money to maintain their body and their families to arrange for. So that's not the purpose of the deity, just to bring you money, using him as a nutcracker. That's not good. That's pretending. You're pretending to be a Vaishnav. Better to be honest. Be what you are. Be where, accept the position you're in and try to improve. There's nothing wrong with being in any position. Because as long as one accepts, I'm in this position, but I'd like to improve. I want to make progress. I think Krishna and the Vaishnavas are very merciful. They'll help him. But if he's proud and artificially presenting himself to be higher than he is, well, no one appreciates that. They say that a fruit or a tree that doesn't have any fruits. He stands very tall. He's very proud. But a tree that has fruits, he bows down humbly. Well, this is better to be humble. Like, there's so many examples. There was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was Kolavecha Sridhar. He was a householder. He maintained himself by making leaf cups. He's a most exalted Vaishnava, but that was his occupation, so he made leaf cups. His income was almost nothing. But he didn't become disturbed or complain, Lord Chaitanya, why don't you give me some money? You're God, and I'm making leaf cups, I'm wasting my time, and I'm getting nothing. He didn't say like that. He accepted, all right, this is my business, making leaf cups, and whatever income I get. And still he was spending 50% for the worship of the Lord. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm not making enough money to give. I remember once, this was in San Francisco Temple. This was, 73, 74, something like that. Prabhupada was there. And it was Rath Yatra time. And so many devotees had come. And Prabhupada had just entered the temple room. It was the temple room on Valencia. I don't think any of you ever saw that temple. It's a nice temple. We don't have that temple anymore. It was a nice temple. Lord Jagannath was there. So it was Rath Yatra time, and there was this tremendous kirtan going on. Srila Prabhupada was entering the building, and it was completely packed. Devotees were everywhere. It was chanting, tumultuous. And Srila Prabhupada came in, and he stopped, and he saw Umapati. Now Umapati Swami, but at that time he was a householder. And so Prabhupada said, Oh, you're here. Because Umapati wasn't there before, so he was surprised to see him there. Umapati was one of the original disciples, Prabhupada's first disciples, and from time to time he struggled with Buddhism. He had some attachment to Buddhism. So sometimes he'd leave, sometimes he'd come back. But anyway, there he was. And Prabhupada said, you're nice you're here. What are you doing? And the whole kirtan stopped also because they saw that Prabhupada was talking, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to talk. They saw that Prabhupada wanted to speak with him, so they all stopped and everyone was listening. And Prabhupada said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm doing computers, Srila Prabhupada. I'm doing some business computers, living outside. I said, very nice. Are you giving 50%? And he said, Prabhupada, I'm not making very much, and the expenses are high, and cost of living, and this and that. Prabhupada said, you must give 50%. And he walked away. So that's what it means to be a householder. It's an austerity. The austerity of the householder is he gets to make the money, but he can't hold on to it. It's not his duty to hold on to it. He has to spend. It's like the Prabhupada gave the example of the honeybees. The honeybees, they collect all the honey, but they can't enjoy it. Someone comes and takes it away. So the sannyasis are like that. The grihasthas, they work very hard to get the money, and the sannyasis come and take it away. Please give me some donation. They have to give. So that's a great austerity on behalf of the grihasthas. That's their duty. So it's better to be like that than to be an artificial supposed sannyasi who's in the background. He's got so many girlfriends and that type of thing. No, that's no good. Better remain grihastha. There's no harm. But be, whatever you are, be in that position. Know your position. You should know where you came from and where you are now and where you would like to go. You should know which direction you're going. If you don't know which direction you're going, that's not very good. It's like a person who's thrown into the water and he doesn't know which way is up or down or sideways. He's in big trouble. You need to know which way is up, which way is down, and where you are now. Then you're all right. Text 7. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So it's better to be even a neophyte, a genuine neophyte, than to be pretending to be a very advanced, very great scholar. No, just like Prabhupada often said, that these devotees who are joining the Krishna consciousness movement, even after a short time, they're better than the biggest yogis. Because they're sincere workers. Sincere person trying to control the senses. He's taking up the right process of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, his position is very strong, very good. Text 8, perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Sometimes people, they artificially renounce their work, and they think they're liberated or they're renounced. But they can't maintain it. They're just cheating. They're just showing people that they're renounced. Or like they fall down in front of the deity putting on a show of how much love they have for Krishna and everything. No, it's not necessary to put on shows to try to impress others. It's not required. Because first of all, you won't be able to fool Krishna. He knows. And you won't be able to fool the spiritual master. He also knows. The spiritual master knows quite well the level of advancement of his disciples. That's what Krishna has empowered him to do. Why is he given so much respect? Because Krishna has made him the agent. Krishna has invested his power of attorney in the spiritual master, and he gives him the capability to be able to understand how to guide the disciples in their spiritual life and how to help them. So if one is not fooling Krishna and he's not fooling the spiritual master, who's he fooling? Maybe some foolish people he'll fool. Some people who are not very advanced, they may become captivated, oh, to see how he's advanced. No. Text 9. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will remain free from bondage. So we can't stop working, so go on working and do the work you like, but do it as a sacrifice for Krishna. What's wrong with that? Then you'll be free from bondage. It's like if someone works for a company. Well, he's working for a company. That's the relationship. That's the reality. He's not independent. He requires to be connected with the company so he can earn a living. That's the relationship. Now, If he tries to cheat while he's doing business for the company, but he wants to take some for himself, oh, he's a criminal. That's cheating. No, the manager says, why did you do that? I'm paying you. I'm taking care of your necessities. You're getting good wage. You're getting nice facilities. So why are you trying to take more? Just take, do your work, and do your work for the company, and you'll be maintained. And that's what Krishna does. Krishna maintains all living entities. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam jovadidatikama. There's no need to try to cheat and take things that don't belong to us. Give everything to the owner, and then he'll take care of us. That's the program. 10. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Well, sacrifices are meant for Vishnu, yajna-vai Vishnu. Men and demigods. And they're all supposed to engage in sacrifices for Vishnu, both the men and the demigods, not just the men. Also, the demigods are supposed to sacrifice for Vishnu in the heavenly planet. Sometimes they forget, becoming carried away with the superior opportunities for sense gratification. But they're not supposed to forget. They're supposed to perform sacrifices even in that situation, being very opulent. And if one does that, then he gets everything desirable and everything's happy. We were thinking today how nice it would be to live in a place where some nice community or neighborhood where all the people were very nice and gentle and kind, and nobody was trying to exploit anyone else, and nobody was harmful. And so that's how it is in the spiritual world. They live forever. Every day they wake up, they get nice food, nice friendship. Can you imagine living in that kind of a situation? As you're walking out of your house, then you see other people and they're so happy to see you. They're pure Vaishnavas. And everyone is so happily serving Krishna. And someone is thinking today, he's working on some beautiful thing to offer Krishna. You know, someone else is making beautiful garland. I'm going to make beautiful garlands for Krishna. I'm going to make beautiful clothes for Krishna. And someone else is thinking, I'm going to do a drama, or I'm going to build a temple for Krishna. Everything, everyone's so happily engaged, peaceful, and they live there eternally with no anxieties, no fear of death, no fear of terrorism. It's like in this world. They try to make it seem like everyone's happy and peaceful, but you know, it's all artificial because they're not in the peaceful place. Text 11, the demigods being pleased by sacrifices will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. So especially the sacrifice, if they're offered to Vishnu, then the demigods are also pleased. One doesn't have to offer sacrifices to the demigods separately. By offering them to Vishnu, because the demigods are considered to be the limbs of the body of the Lord. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ki jai.